The vanity of absolute philosopher is his thought that he knows all. Mm. This is Dr. Herbert L. Barley, Dean of the University of Healing, the University of Philosophy, here in Campo, California, with the absolute philosopher. Tonight our subject is, the vanity of the absolute philosopher is that is his thought that he knows all. Now, a lot of us like to play the game, ich weiß das, ich weiß das, ich weiß. Gott in mir is the answer. I know that I know that I know God in me is the answer. We like to say that. That's a good statement. But why don't you be the answer? Just not say it, be it. I'm whole and perfect. I'm whole and perfect. Be whole and perfect. Think whole and perfect. Think that you're whole and perfect. I'm wealthy, I'm healthy, I'm happy, I'm hearty. Be healthy, be wealthy, be happy, be hearty in your consciousness, in your thinking, in your attitude. Because when you have it all in order, then you are it. When you wish it were so, it is not yet so for you. However, it is not something that you're going to make happen. Because it already exists. It's only for you to recognize that it already exists and it's yours. And it's only for me to recognize that it's already mine and it's mine. Now, the vanity of the absolute philosopher is his thought that he knows all. You see, you say to a little child, my, you are an intelligent boy. I know. You know, you want to kick him in the face. You know, this is what our attitude is. We should instead say, you're a brilliant youngster. I know. You know everything. I know. You are so wonderful. I know. You are such a joy to the world. I know. You are the child of some superior parents. I know. You are a superior child. I know. I mean, you think to yourself, my God, you know. Now, wouldn't it be lovely if children thought that way?
Yeah.
If children spoke that way? That's if children acted that way?
That's how my children act.
That's the way an absolute philosopher trains the young people in their life. Not just their own children, but all the children that come into their life. Sylvia, what's the oldest child you ever trained?
Myself.
Well, that's not true. You have been working with Dorothea, and she's 87, and she's just a child, right?
Yeah, that's right.
And she responds to this by saying, yes, I know. I know I'm God. I know I'm the creator of my world. I know. I know. And you don't say, you little mixing, you know, you have no humility, no respect. You know, you say, go for it, Dorothea, go for it. And she does. Now, are there any other older people in your world? Like Ellen has 6 grandchildren, and each one of the 6 grandchildren thinks they're smarter than the other. They think they're more brilliant, more beautiful, more handsome, more desirable. Well, what's so strange about that? I wrote a whole book on that called I Am Number One. This is who we are. We're number one. Now, how do we be number one? We are number one by every action we take, every thought we do, everything that we are, we're number one. And it's a wonderful thing. Now, how can we express ourselves as number one? We express ourselves as number one by recognizing any thought that comes into our mind and heart and attention is done. It's not going to be done. It's not something that we want to have done. It is done. Now, when will it happen? This is Katam. It is done. It is perfect. It is finished. Huh?
It's Shona. It already exists. It's done.
What were you going to say? It's Shona.
Shon Katan.
Shon Katan. It already, but you see, Shon Katan means it's done, and already exists is another phrase. Mm. You see, for something that's done, that means then it's over with. But for something that already exists, that means that anyone can be aware of that and utilize that. So that phrase is better. It always exists. It already exists. There's nothing new. So now, what does a philosopher do? How does a philosopher think about this? What does a philosopher think is the most important thing in the world? The philosopher thinks the most important thing in the world is to be himself and have fun. Now, we talk about that again and again and again, and we say that's the vanity of the philosopher, is that he should be himself and have fun. Well, really, if you were to die in the next 20 minutes, could you say of yourself, I lived a good life. I was myself and I had fun. I did the things that pleased me. I did the things that made me happy. And I lived a good life. Could you say that?
Mm-hmm. Now, yes.
Now, yes. Mm-hmm. Now, yes. But you see, that's what we want to learn to do. We want to learn to say that. Not that we're going to die, but we want to learn to say. Christian, say it.
Sag wie dein Name.
Esther Christiana.
Christiane.
Christiane.
Yes. Okay, Esther.
It's more easy.
You are going to take a boat. And you are going to go over to Japan. And you're going to say, goodbye, University of Healing friends, I'm going to Japan. And we would say, goodbye, Esther. Did you have a good time on campus? And Esther would say, well, I hadn't really thought about it. I was so busy enjoying it. You know, that's good enough for us. And so we say, Esther, were you always being yourself and having fun? And she would say, I guess so. I don't know any other way to be. I don't know any other way to be except to be myself and have fun. Now, this is true. But you see, to say that, people think that you're being not humble. And yeah, a little bit fruit, a little crazy. But yeah. Well, just like you say, I'm God, people think you're crazy. And that's only because they are not really believing that you're crazy. They do not want to acknowledge it, because if they acknowledge it, then that means they have to take responsibility for themselves being God. And when you take responsibility for yourself being God, then it's another story. Now listen. Just for instance, say you are the eternal, immortal, everlasting God. Okay? You're God in all that God is. Just uberos. In all. Okay, now. Do you think God has a purpose? Now, what is God's purpose in existing? As this mighty, powerful, creative, fantastic beingness, why does it exist? What is its purpose? Well, we understand its purpose is for it to be itself and have fun. Now, what is the reason for energy to exist? You know what energy is? Yeah. Why does energy exist on the earth? Energy goes into our bodies. Energy goes into the light switch. Energy goes into the candle. Energy goes into everything and comes out of everything. Energy is constantly moving. What makes up an atom? Energy. It is constantly moving in that atom. All of the parts of the atom are constantly in movement, right? Mm-hmm. Okay. What's the purpose of an atom being? It has no purpose to be. It might be used as the building blocks for humanity, for a dog, for a house. It might be used as the building blocks of the universe. And then, And then a moment later, the universe blows up. Poof! And you say, oh, how sad. No. It's not sad when any changes take place in the apparent outer world. The inner world is always the same. The inner world never changes. The inner world is always absolute and pure. The inner world is always being itself and having fun. You say, well, how do you know that, Herb? That's kind of a presumption of you to make such a thing like that. Now, how can you say that the eternal almighty God exists only to be itself and have fun? Do you have a better reason? Do you have a better statement of why the eternal is? No. There is no other purpose for existence or for whatever there is besides existence, and I don't know. But there's no purpose for God, man, or anything that exists or doesn't exist, except to be itself and have fun. Now, the nothingness of outer space, what is its purpose? Just to be itself and have fun. To be nothing. And then along comes the somethingness, and it says to the nothing, let's play. And the nothing says, I am antimatter. And the somethingness says, I am pro-matter. And so the antimatter and the pro-matter get together, and they dance, and they have a good time, and the matter becomes sort of like antimatter, and the antimatter becomes sort of like matter, and they say, hey, you know, we just had an offspring. It's called antimatter-matter. Now, let's start a new universe in which antimatter-matter can exist. Okay, we'll have a new universe. Now, are we rejecting each other, or are we accepting each other? Are we, what's the format of our universe going to be? Are we going to have a universe which has planets and stars and Earth and people and things like that in it? Or are we just going to be energy bouncing around in the allness, just having a ball? What are we going to do? The absolute philosopher thinks about those things. Because whatever you can conceive of in your thought, whatever crazy mixed up ideas you come up with, contrary to the human laws, this is possible. And it's not always contrary to human laws. It's very harmonious with them most of the time, because that's what we as humans think in. We think in human laws. We think in human relationships. We think in how a human responds to a human. But then to think like the absolute philosopher thinks, how does the absolute respond to the absolute? How does the isness respond to the isness? Here you have two isnesses together. And how do they say hello? Or do they? Or you have 1,000 isnesses all together. Are they going to have a dance? Are they going to have an intellectual confab where they talk with one another? Are they going to just exist one another and look at each other? Well, they're untouched. They're one-pointed. They're not possessed by anything. And they're not judgmental. So they wouldn't even look at each other. Think about that. Mm-hmm. In the allness, in absolute, an is doesn't even look at another is. Tell her what that is.
An ist im absoluten.
An is does not even look at another is. An is itself complete and whole and unique. At least that's the way we define it. Now, do we say God is an is? No. God is not an is. God, as a human defines an is recognizing that it is in relationship. Whenever you think of God, you're thinking of relationship. You have to. And because you're thinking of a relationship, what's happening? What's happening is that relationship takes you out of absolute consciousness into the relative. And it's a wonderful thing. It's a wonderful thing. Now, we are here talking absolute philosophy, more or less. And we are sharing the ideas of absolute philosophy. Now, we are so poor in our consciousness that we create telemarketing people calling us in the middle of our talk. And the phone rings, and we feel so eager to jump up and answer it because, my God, it might be the sweepstakes coming for us of $20 million or something like that. Well, if it's a sweepstakes, they'll call again. And if it is telemarketing, they'll call again. And if it is something important, they'll call again. And if it's not something important, then they probably won't call again. Now, you see, the Absolute exists to be itself and have fun. Okay? Mm-hmm. Humanity exists to be itself and have fun. Now, Ellen and I have been associates for 2,000 or 3,000 years now. And in the beginning of our relationship, I would be talking to Ellen on the telephone from America. And Ellen would say, excuse me, I have some other telephone ringing. Or excuse me, there's somebody at the door. Or excuse me, I've got a kettle on the stove. And I would say, bye, and hang up. If I, as one who is sharing with you and you are sharing with me, do not have your absolute attention, if you are so poor as to create other things calling your attention while we're sharing philosophical ideas, you don't deserve the philosophical ideas. Because I am being myself and having fun. And my fun is not having you answer another telephone. It's not having you answer the door. If somebody comes to the door, tell them, wait. Put a sign on the door, say, we're having a talk and we'll be done at the X time. If you wish to wait, wait. If not, thank you for coming. You know? Now, what if you weren't home? What if you weren't home? What if you were walking the path and you weren't there to answer your phone? Would your phone ring? Would things go on? Would the world go on? No. You see, we're being ourselves and having fun. And for us to worry what's on the other line, what's on the telephone, what's going on in our world, we're not masters. And we want to be masters. And a master always is being himself and having fun. Don't. I suggest that you consider being a master. You consider being yourself and having fun. You consider living as an absolute philosopher and enjoy every moment of your life because you know who you are. Mm-hmm. And you're good and very good. I love you. I love you, 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 I love you.